Trinity, we honor the Godhead. We're so thankful for the work that he has done in our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. I pray you're doing well, church. I know a lot of you are doing a lot better now. Amen? Amen. Oh, I love it when God heals things. I remember a story once when I prayed for a lady at church. Oh, by the way, I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. In case you're wondering, who's that guy yelling? Well, I'm just excited. When I get excited, I yell. And you act like you don't, man. You sing like crazy in the shower when nobody's around. You might as well sing like that at church. Amen? Amen. I remember this one time, there was this lady at work that I was working in a secular background. Before I lived here, I lived in Arkansas for 7 years, worked in transportation business, and one of the jobs I worked for, the F word and any other kind of word was said about every sentence, and I knew I was in a place of opportunity. And there was this lady that I knew, she was a temp, and she worked, and she was working there, and she was an older lady, and she had COPD and some other things that were never to get better. And she was a believer, and so we talked about Jesus every once in a while on our breaks or whatnot, because we had to be careful to give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, but to give God what is God's. I was never afraid to speak God's name, as long as I knew it was God and not my arrogant self. And so I was doing that, and we were talking, and she said, you know, hey, Harris, I'm really struggling, and my doctor says COPD is doing really bad. I said, let's go out to the hallway. Laid hands on her, right? It's funny how your faith has to be a mustard seed, because that's all I had. And I went out there, and I was just being obedient, and I remember laying hands on her, and I said, Jesus, by your stripes, may you heal her and her COPD and everything else that she's going through right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I thought, hey, I did it, right? I was walking away, and she goes, oh, did you feel that? Go ahead and tell me what you felt. I felt like a hand, and it was in my body, and it was moving things around, right? And I'm like, say what? Right? And I'm just like, she's like, God is touching me. And I did one of these, like, yes! And I turn around, so I'm like, what? What's going on right now? She ended up getting let go, which is awful, but she was a temp, and she got let go, but I gave her my number. She called me 2 weeks later, and she said she went to the doctor, and I don't know if you know anything about COPD, but all it does is get worse and eventually could kill you. It is a deterioration of lungs and your breathing and all your respiratory section of your life, and it was pretty bad for her. She was never a smoker or anything, but she had that in her life, and she called me 2 weeks later and said, guess what? I said, what? She said, I went to the doctor, and they said my COPD is better. And they, at the doctor's office, said that was a miracle. And I'm like, come on now, right? Why do I tell you that story, church? I tell you that story because I want to tell you something today. You might have been sitting in those seats just extending your hands, and you felt like, you know, I'm just being obedient. I remember being obedient, and God healed a miraculous miracle in a lady's life. And today, through your obedience, you extended your hands in faith, and God is going to do a miracle, and I believe it 100%. So I want to encourage you today that even if you sat in your seat and you said, who am I? I don't really have the faith right here. I'm just being obedient. See, it always starts with obedience, church. It starts with obedience. And as you see miracles happen in your life through the obedience of what God has called you to, your faith will grow, and so will the faith of others. Amen? Amen. I'm excited to hear all the reports as I greet you on my way out, as you're on your way out today, about what God has done in your life this morning, about the healing. Amen? Amen. I pray you're doing well. You doing well? You happen to be the house of God? Amen. Amen. Well, I want to first and foremost say thank you so much. Last week was Pastor Appreciation Week. I know you do it one time a year, and you guys do it so well. It's amazing. My wife and I are so blessed. We're so thankful for the gift that you gave. A lot of you know because you were in here when we got kicked out. But the gift was to give us a cruise, and potentially a cruise, a Disney cruise. And we are working on that right now. We're potentially going to be going at the end of January. And praise God, get away from that white demon. Oh, glory to God. That was a double win. We're looking financially how we're going to do that, and timing-wise how we're going to do that. But we are getting very close to doing that. And I wanted to ask you a favor by the blessing that you gave us. Our kids share mommy and daddy quite a lot. you know, mommy and dad are at a meeting, or mommy and dad are doing this, or helping a family, or doing that, or this or that. So I was praying about this, and the gift that we've asked is, give us something to do with our family. That to us is a massive gift. Our kids already know it's a cruise, but they don't know what kind of cruise. We're looking at a Disney, potentially a Disney Marvel cruise, because they're only doing that for a little bit longer. And trust me, there's no way that I would ever pay for this. But through your gift, this is going to be a memory for a lifetime. And thank you for that. But here's what I want to ask of you. Will you do me a favor? Will you not tell our kids that it's a Disney or a Marvel, potentially a Marvel cruise? And the reason why is at Christmas, my wife and I want to present it to our kids this. They want to say, hey, guess what? Guess what the church got our family? The church loves us so much and thanks you that you get to share mommy and daddy a lot. They want to send us on a cruise, a Disney Marvel cruise, and they want to bless you with that to say that you are important and they love you. That's going to mean the world to my kids. Will you do that for me? Amen? Amen. So that's going to be awesome, because I don't want my kids growing up resenting the church. I want our kids growing up in the church, loving Jesus and jumping right in. Because when I said, yes, I'll be the lead pastor, I didn't just say it. Our whole family did. We're all in this together. Amen? Amen. We love you. Thank you so much. We'll give you some more updates. But I am so excited to get sunburnt in the name of Jesus. Right? Amen. Amen. Well, here's the month of honor. You've honored us so greatly this month. But this is October, and our month's theme is honor. A couple weeks ago, we started our monthly series to raise the bar of honor in our everyday lives. Honor has many meanings. It means esteem, value, time, show great respect, appreciation, favorable regard, and love. The opposite of honor is dishonor. It's to treat something shamefully, show no value, treat as common, ordinary, or menial. Can I stop for a moment? I want to talk to you about something here. Treat as common, ordinary, and menial. See, we usually focus on other people, don't we, when we're talking about honor and dishonor. But do you ever treat yourself as common, as ordinary, or menial? Do you ever dishonor God by the way you treat, speak about, or think about yourself? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this word. I pray that you empty me out right now and fill me with your spirit. And just like Jesus said 2,000 years ago, may I preach the good news to set the captive free, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. God, right now, I step out and you step in. I pray that this word be from you, God, and not words on a paper, but from heaven. May you speak through me right now and speak to the ones in this congregation and anybody listening to this recording right now. I pray that wherever they're at, that they feel the love of you, God, and they hear your word, and I know it will never return void. May you do what you've predestined before time began. Right now, I thank you for this word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See, the Bible's very clear, church. It's very clear about honor and its great importance in our lives. Romans 12:10 says this, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Who are you? Who are you really? When everything goes wrong in life, who are you? When everything is going right in life, who are you? Not what you do, not where you work, not the name that your parents gave you, not your interests, not your likes, not your loves, not even your lifestyle. These are things that distinguish you, but these are not the things that define you. Honoring God is not something that happens naturally. You learn to how to be in God's presence, and that's where you learn to honor God. In your relationship with God, I want to ask you, how do you show reverence and respect and honor to our Creator? So there's one major theme in God's word. A certain people group the Bible refers to the most in whom we should honor besides the Lord. Do you know who they are? Think about it. In 550 BC, everything seemed to be going downhill. Morality on a downward spiral. Lifestyles were deteriorating. Evil and selfishness was spreading within and through God's chosen people. So God chose to speak through his prophet, the prophet Malachi. Malachi asked some incredible questions, and he exposed a major issue of the time. I believe God is speaking to us today, church, through the words of God's prophet 2,500 years later. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8 says this. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priests, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I'm your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. Another word there is honor. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong that you offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor. See how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The major theme in the people group the Bible refers to the most and whom we should honor besides the Lord is honor thy father and mother. So as I was seeking the Lord and praying, God spoke to me through these verses I found when I was reading in Malachi chapter 1. Two things. Number one, we have brought tainted sacrifices, tainted worship to God, our Father and our Master. Number two, our worship is tainted. Why? Because we forgot, first and foremost, we are children of God, and he is our Father. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord addresses the sacrifices we give to him. He says, you wouldn't give crippled, blind, or diseased sacrifices to a governor, but you do to me. Who does the governor represent in these verses? He represents a physical authority. God is referring to physical sacrifices. He addresses us in how we choose to honor the physical over the spiritual ones we give him. We give more respect and honor in the physical than we do in the spiritual. Where is the spiritual altar? The spiritual altar of God and what he looks at now is your heart. So in your heart and in your spiritual practices, right? This better not be the only spiritual practice you have. In your heart and in your spiritual practices, how do you show honor to God? See, we may show on a Sunday morning a great physical honor to the governor, the physical authority. But what do you bring this morning, church, in the spiritual aspect in your spiritual altar? What is on your heart to give to the Father as a child of his? God is saying to us this morning, see, even though we profess our religion is a relationship with a personal Savior, we get stuck in physical systems and rituals, and they become tainted sacrifices to our Father. Do you remember first being saved? Did you first come and saved and said, I know what Sunday morning is going to look like. We're going to come in. We're going to have an opening song. We're going to have some announcements. We're going to have some more worship. We're going to dismiss the kids. We're going to have worship. Pastor's going to preach. We're going to leave, and I'm going to go eat where I always eat. Did you ever think about that when you first got saved? Anybody? Come on now, be real. Y'all gonna be this quiet? I'm gonna be this quiet. Did you ever do that when you first got saved? I might even sit down. Did you all think like that when you first got saved? Or were you just so hungry and excited to be in the presence of God? I don't care what's going to happen today. I'm just here to meet my Father. I'm just here to be in His presence. I am a child, and I was lost, and now I'm found. I can't wait to be here. And if God is going to stir us up with a testimony, if God is going to have people get prayed for, and there's going to be all kinds of people healed, woo, hallelujah. Who cares about announcements? Who cares about the service order? Who cares about that? I just want to be in the house of God with other believers. My family members. Amen? Sometimes we get stuck in physical systems and rituals, and they become tainted sacrifices to our Father. I'm not saying we just go crazy and have chaos. God is a God of order. What I'm saying is, quit putting Him in a box. Tainted. Why? Because the sacrifices we bring our Father and our Master do not come with a pure and innocent heart of a child. A child that approaches their father in honor. Daddy, I'm here. What I have is probably not good. But what I do have, I bring to you right now. I don't care what my left says. I don't care what my right thinks about me. I am here to come and bring you myself. And my altar, it's my heart. Take it now. Children of God, we are called to honor. There are things we must unlearn this morning. Come on now. There are things we must unlearn this morning to relearn to be children of God. Sometimes I wonder how much we do honor God. It is so much easier to honor the physical. Right? It's easy to honor God. I know we come in late a lot. There's a lot of people come in late. Would you ever do that at work? What would happen at work? We do it to church all the time. That's just one thing. Like, how do we honor God with what we say, what we do? Do you go to sleep and say, you know what, I'm too tired to pray. But God just wants the next 5 minutes. Or, you know what, I'm going to honor the physical because I don't feel like it, or I'm nervous about what that person's going to say in the next cubicle. But we don't honor the spiritual, we honor the physical. We don't honor God like He wants us to honor Him. Because when it all comes down to everything, church, all that matters is you are a child of God. And who cares what anybody else thinks? My daddy's got me. He's got me. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were attending a yearly pastor's fall retreat. And God spoke to my soul this: Harris, quit being so pastoral. Come back and be my boy. Broke me. When do we have to be this cookie cutter Christian, man? Come back and be a child of God, church. There's somebody else this morning that needs to hear that. Come back to the heart of worship. Remember, you are a child of the Most High before you are anything else in this life. You see, church, many of us have lost a childlike faith, a heart like a child, because we somehow have become matured Christians in our relationship with God. Well, I'm too mature for that. Well, I've moved past that. And because of that, we have lost a pure sacrifice at God's altar of honor. C.S. Lewis said this, quote, "God wants us to have grown-up minds, but a childlike heart," end quote. Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be His name. The most important thing you can understand this morning about honor is you are called to be a child of God. Never lose the wonder of being a kid of the kingdom. Can I read you a story? Yeah? Whoever said please can come on up. You're the only one that wants to hear it, so. Y'all way too quiet. Y'all want to hear a story? Yes. Amen. Come on now. Now that's a charismatic Pentecostal church. I remember. Hallelujah. You ever watch? Okay, some of y'all Iowa fans, some of you are Iowa State, and some of you are love the Lord so much and you're Oregon Duck fans. I'm just saying. Go Ducks. But seriously, when you watch sports or you watch something you love, do you ever yell at the TV? You ever get excited when something happens? This is church. It's way better than that. Amen? All right, let's get excited. I'm going to tell you a story. A well-known preacher and professor, his name was Fred Craddock, and he told the story of going back one summer at Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to take a short vacation with his wife. One night they found a quiet little restaurant where they looked forward to a private meal, just the two of them. While they were waiting for their meal, they noticed a distinguished-looking white-haired man moving from table to table, visiting guests. Craddock whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here." He didn't want the man to intrude on their privacy, but the man did come by their table. "Where are you folks from?" he asked. "Oklahoma." "Splendid state, I hear, although I've never been there before. What do you do for a living?" Well, I teach homiletics at a graduate seminary of Phillips University." "Oh, so you teach preachers, do you? Well, I got a story I want to tell you." And with that, he pulled up a chair, sat down at the table with Craddock and his wife. Dr. Craddock said he groaned inwardly. "Oh no, here comes another preacher story. It seems like everybody has one." The man stuck out his hand. "I'm Ben Hooper. I was born not far from here, across them mountains over there. My mother wasn't married when I was born, and I had a hard time. When I started school, my classmates had a name for me, and it wasn't a very nice name. I used to go off by myself at recess and during lunchtime because the taunts of my playmates cut me so deeply. What was worse was going downtown on a Saturday afternoon and feeling every eye burning a hole straight through you. And they were wondering just who my real father was. When I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to our church. I would always go in late and slip out early. But one day the preacher said the benediction so fast I got caught up and I had to walk with the crowd. I could feel every eye in the church on me. Just about the time I got to the door, I felt a big hand on my shoulder. I looked up and the preacher was looking right at me. 'Who are you, son? Whose boy are you?' I felt the old weight come upon me. It was like a big black cloud. Even the preacher was putting me down. But as he looked down at me, studied my face, and began to smile, a big smile of recognition. 'Wait a minute,' he said. 'I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a son of God.' With that, he slapped me on the rump and said, 'Boy, you got a great inheritance. Go and claim it.' From that point on, when anybody ever asked me, 'Who's your daddy?' I'd respond, 'I'm a child of God.'" The old man looked across the table at Fred Craddock and said, "That was the most important single sentence ever said to me." With that, he smiled and shook the hands of the Craddocks and his wife, and they moved on to another table to greet old friends. And Fred Craddock said, "Excuse me, waitress? Who is that man?" The waitress said, "Everybody knows him around here. That's Ben Hooper, the former governor of Tennessee." Church, before you can ever love, believe, serve, give, bring, lay down, crucify, transform, praise, worship, or sacrifice, you must be. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that's what we are." See? This is what we are, not what we try to be. This is what we are through Christ. And in his victory, we have been adopted into sonship. Adoption in Christian theology is the admission of a believer into the family of God. Welcome. Welcome to the family. We are justified through God's Son Jesus to make us receivers of God's grace, his grace of adoption. Because of Christ, we are liberated from the law, the pain and the hurt and the sorrow and the shame of the law. We are free. A born-again Christian is now exalted into a condition of a free child of God. And because of that, we have an opportunity to enjoy all the privileges of sonship. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says this: "But to who all believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." The core of who you are this morning is born. Who you are today has been birthed, not built. The greatest honor we have came from the reconciliation of human life through Jesus. We are children of God. And through our Father's love, we have the core of who we are and who we've always been intended to be. Being a child of God is not about your age or your stage. It's about your life. It's about your source. Who you are is defined by the nature in whom you came from. Whose boy are you? Whose girl are you? Genesis 1, verse 26. "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." We were created to be children of God, and we were created to bear the nature, the image of God. See, all of God's creation, you're about to walk out and see God's creation. The beautiful leaves outside, the fall, the crisp air, everything that God made was to reflect his glory and to reflect his goodness. But only one of God's creations was ever given the unique position to bear his nature. In Christ, God has restored our position as a child of God. We cannot change our nature by ourselves. So God sent his nature to us by sending his Son Jesus. And if we receive him and believe in him, God reconciles us and unites us with that nature again. John 1, verses 9 through 13. "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to who all believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." So, church, I ask you a question this morning. Who do you honor? What facade must you take off to reveal your childlike heart again? This is how you show your greatest honor to God. You remember and you act like children of the Most High. Amen? Worship team, can you come? There's people in here today that don't know that they are children of God, or maybe they forgot and said, "Who is this Father you speak of?" A lot of us in here today also, a lot of you are struggling with your human parents, father, your mother, and they're not perfect. They never were created to be perfect. But let me tell you about a perfect Father in heaven who loves you with an everlasting love, who will never leave you or forsake you. A Father in heaven that if you accept who you are in him through his Son Jesus and the salvation of what he has done, you will be called children of God. And what does that mean? That means in Christ, you have the full inheritance of what Jesus has and what he's predestined before time. See, God created Adam and Eve, and they lived in a garden with his presence every single day. Every day. And when did that end? When we chose sin. But what was the intention? To live with his presence. And when Jesus came and he reconciled us through his blood and through his sacrifice, and he healed us when he did such a thing, he brought the presence of God back to us, because God doesn't look at our filthy rags anymore. He looks at Jesus' righteousness. He looks through glasses of Christ to us, our advocate, our Savior, our Messiah, the one who has set us free. And through that, you can have heaven on earth. See, the world battles with stuff all the time, and maybe you're battling with things right now. But our Father says you don't have to do that any longer. You may have trials and tribulations in this world, but have no fear, for Jesus has overcome them all. You may be living in a life right now that you say, man, I'm struggling. Right? And all I do is focus on my pain and my hurt and my shame and my sorrow and whatever I've faced. God says today that if you accept his son Jesus, you will be children of God. And yes, you will have to face things, but he will not only change the circumstances, he'll change you in them. And you, only through the salvation of Jesus, will you be able to face the things that you go through. That's the only way. You don't believe me? Look what the world provides. You can have as much sex as you want. You can have as much drugs as you want. You can drink as much as you want. You can go around and party as much as you want. You can chase fame and fortune. But let me tell you, even the celebrities are killing themselves because they think they have all that the world has provided, but they are still broken inside, because there's something inside of you that only God can mend. Not everybody's... This is doctrinally, this is theologically what I've studied. Not everybody's a child of God. Only to be a child of God, you have to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Those are children of God. But what is out there with the lost are potential children of God. They need to know their Father. And Jesus died so they would know. And Jesus died for you to know. If that's you today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know God as your Father, and you struggle through life and you face battles and things that maybe you don't need to face, I'm here today to tell you that this message is for you. The greatest honor we can have is to remember what position we stand in. I am a son of God. And I don't care what you think, and devil, I don't care what you bring. I'm protected by my Father. And he goes before me in every battle. And he loves me enough. And he gives me grace and mercy. And his mercies are new every morning. And I will fight the good fight of faith until the last breath in my lungs. And I will preach because you set me free, God. Now, my past life is gone. And I'm made brand new. And just like Miss Judy, you can have a physical new heart if Jesus' stripes heal you, but you can have a new heart spiritually as well. And that's for all people. And what it says is you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. A lot of times, churchgoers, we get stuck in these ruts. And obedience is wonderful. Obedience is wonderful. God's word says it's greater than sacrifice. This is true. Obedience is wonderful. We got to walk out in obedience. But if your obedience is the only thing that you have, you forgot who you are. Why are you following through obedience? It's because of who you are. You're a child. And if you forget what it's like to dance before your daddy, if you forget what it's like to say, Dad, I'm struggling with a bunch of stuff, and I know you're the provider, will you help me? And like when my kids come to me and they make me these little cards and they bring me this stuff, it pleases me. And God wants to be pleased by you this morning. What will you bring God in honor today? What must God break in your life to get you back in understanding the most important thing is you are a child of his? Because when you truly recognize that, and I'm not saying you just sing a song, oh, I'm a child of God and all my fear is gone. No, do you live it? Sunday is an easy day to worship God and to be full of feelings. Sunday's a good day to say, hallelujah, praise God, but do you do it when all things are going bad? Do you lean on your friends? Do you say, God, I'm on my knees, and I've come here day in and day out, and I will continue to do that until you change my status, until you change my life. I will be right here because I know you're my daddy, and you're my provider, and you're my healer, and you're my savior, and I'm right here, and you're the defender of me. These people are coming after me, but I will look to you. But I will look to you. I will look to you. My eyes are upon the clouds. I'm looking to heaven, to you, God. Even if they fall at my left and my right, I will worship you. I pray this is not just a reminder. We got to get out of the same old, same old. One of these Sundays, man, what if I just preach it? 10:30 hits, I'm preaching, right? Or what if 10:30 hits and I say, everybody get up out of your seats. We're going to our neighbors right now. We're witnessing. You shouldn't be scared about it. You should be, hallelujah. Come on, I'm willing to do whatever the Spirit of God says. And if God's speaking to my pastor and he's saying, we're going to go do it. See, we don't want to get stuck in the mundane. We don't want to get stuck. We need to unlearn some things in our life to remember where we came from, to remember who we are. What matters most is when you leave in just a moment. What will you do with the honor of the Lord? How will you honor him? And the greatest thing you can do is give him your life as a son or as a daughter. Jesus, you gave all your life. So here I am. Give you the rest of mine. Here I am. Use me. Send me. Anoint me. Whatever you've called me to, whatever you want to speak through my mouth. God, I wasn't 5, I wasn't 12, I wasn't 15 thinking that one day I'd be preaching in a church, being a lead pastor. But when you say, God, use me, I recognize who I am. He will take you to the greatest places on earth. He will take you on the greatest ride you've ever been on, and you will step into places that most people will be so scared of. But you say, in the Spirit of God, he is leading me. I walk in here, and this darkness must flee because I have the light of the world inside of me. I'm the salt of the earth, and I'm walking in here, and God has told me to walk in here. And not only am I going to walk in here, but people are going to get set free. Not because of who I am, but because of the obedience and the understanding that I am a son of God, and I'm walking into this, and that darkness must be broken in the name of Jesus. And I want to prophesy. What is that? I want to speak things into existence as if they should be, not as they are now. And I want to walk in, and just like that sweet girl up here this morning who said, I think I have a word from the Lord, and I'm going to check with the pastor. And she said, I believe I have a gift of knowledge for healing. And there was a circle of people that got healed because you were obedient. You didn't worry about what your peers thought. You didn't worry about what daddy thought. You didn't worry about what family thought. You just obeyed the Spirit of God. And that's how we need to be. That's what Jesus died for. If it would have just been about your salvation and live however you want, there'd be single raptures every morning on a Sunday, right? I'd be saying, hey, you want to accept Jesus? You come up, whoop, you're gone, right? Then who's going to preach to you? Because I believe it. I'm out. I'm out of here, right? Your beginning, your forever, and who you are starts the day of your salvation, and you give God the rest of yours. Give him the rest of your life. Give him the rest of your life. If that's you today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you don't know this Father that I'm speaking about this morning, and there's all kinds of stuff in your life that just doesn't line up, or maybe you forgot who you were. Maybe you forgot you were a son or daughter. And I'm not saying, oh yeah, great sermon, Harris, or Pastor Harris, you know, it's just a normal sermon. No. See, that's the attitude that needs to be broken. That's the mindset, the pride that needs to be broken, because we should be hungry for the Word of God. There are people dying every single day. They're ripping pages out of the Bible, stuffing them up, getting at 3 a.m. in candlelight, reading the Word of God. But we come here like, ah, whatever, I didn't like the music. Get over yourself and worship the King. This is freedom, freedom. And we need to be Christians full of freedom. There's a dying and lost world. Let me tell you something. If everybody brought one person next week, this place would double, right? Crazy. I want to see chairs up here. Not because we just need to grow our kingdom here. That's not about that. It's about the kingdom. We need to grow the kingdom. There's people that you know every single day that are lost. They must hear this kind of word. They must understand the knowledge that God loved them so much. He sent the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago. Christmas is coming up. The greatest gift you could ever get is Jesus. And they need to hear this, and that they want to be sons and daughters of the Most High, that they need this in their life. Let me tell you, I remember what it's like to lay down my head at night thinking I did all the worldly things and yet still feeling unsatisfied and full of shame. I used to cry myself to sleep, say, why did I do that? And all these people thought this, and I'm just this bad person, always getting condemned, until I met Jesus. And he says, I love you and I forgive you. And guess what? When you wake up tomorrow, my mercies are new. Start a new day in me. Give me more of you than you did just today. Start new. And let me tell you, I'll give you, he's the Prince of Peace. He's gonna bring peace to you. My circumstances didn't necessarily change, but I did. Now I can face them. If that's you today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, not with every head bowed and not with every eyes closed, if that's you today, will you raise your hand? I just wanna acknowledge you today. If you wanna accept Christ, that's you today. Anyone? This is a safe place. All of us have done this. All of us have been here before. We've given our hearts to Jesus. Is there anybody in here today that says, I want to give my life to Jesus? I just want to recognize you and I want to pray with you. Because if we come together and we pray, he will heal us. If we confess our sins to one another, he will heal us. If we come and we pray, he will set us free. Okay, here's a call for the church then. If you forgot who you were, you forgot whose you are. You're on worship team, even you, Brent. We can figure it out, man. Anybody. Will you stand with me? If you forgot who you are, I want to come and invite you to this altar, the altar of honor. At the altar is where you get altered. You forgot who you are as a child of God, or you want to break those things again, I want to invite you as we sing and we worship. And when are we going to close? Whenever you feel that God has released you. Now, we're not going to do that thing. We're not putting it in a box. I don't have a next service lined up right after this. We're just going to listen to the Spirit of God and we're just going to flow. So if that's you today, I want you to come up. Father, we love you. We thank you for this service. Thank you for the reminder of who we are. May you set us free. And every single person that needs to remember, God, that you're our Father and we are your children, may you wake us up again and may we not be afraid of anything. Just like a dad that stands there and says, I'm here. I protect you. Go. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And even if we fail, you say, that's all right. We're going to do it next time together. Thank you for this life. I thank you for this opportunity. May you bless all of us. And we recognize who we are in you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.